When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Business. It's all the things that keep this world turning. And behind every one of these companies is a partner helping to keep it all moving. It's why the local flower shop and your favorite pizza joint, the startup in the stadium, hospitals and hotels, banks and restaurants nationwide, all choose the advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and round-the-clock trusted partnership from Comcast Business, the company that powers more businesses than anyone else. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Restrictions apply. Call or visit ComcastBusiness.com to learn more.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Welcome.
Yeah, okay. Right, we're here. Just trying to get the right button.
That's your first time in the studio.
It is. This studio.
This studio, yeah.
Right. I don't know when that happened, but I was here in December, but I didn't come on the air that day. It was for another reason. Welcome. Yeah, my power went out yesterday. Like the whole neighborhood, actually several towns, gone for an hour. And when it came back on, the world of Wi-Fi and the internet didn't work. So,
what caused the power outage?
No, and I haven't seen any stories yet. I was trying to find a story as to what caused it. It was something, at a substation, but I don't really know the specific reasons. So,
sabotage? Terrorism?
It could have been. Oh, yeah, that's what they're doing in the South, right? They've been shooting out some of the power towers and stuff.
Yeah, some local terrorists are
because they're mad about transgenders performing. Reading to children or something. I don't know.
Some kind of drag show for kids. Got this group upset, so they wanted to take out the electrical system.
I don't know.
Something rational.
Don't think that was the reason for yesterday. And there was rain, and there was a storm, and there was thunder later. But I don't think that was the reason because it was kind of weird. It just glitched and was gone at like 2:30. You got a chance for money. Still got the KFI cash refill contest coming up at about 20 after here on the John and Ken Show. Boy, this never gets old. And it's a short update from Politico.com. Garcetti, you're still here? ? They call it their West Wing playbook, your guide to the people in power centers in the Biden administration.
Wow.
It's been 567 days since Joe Biden announced his nomination of Eric Garcetti to become U.S. ambassador to India. And it remains entirely unclear how much longer he will wait.
Is that the longest delay in American history?
Somebody should look that up. I mean, do not know.
567 days and he's still sitting at home.
Well, I thought they sat on Trump nominations for a long time. Isn't that what they do now? They kind of just block each other's nominations.
If it's the other party, yeah. But what happens is, after a while, somebody withdraws. Because it's embarrassing for the nominee.
That's what I think. That's why it says it remains unclear how longer he will wait. Oh, he'll wait forever.
Oh, he will.
He's got no job. He's got no life. Why would he? What are his other prospects?
What do you think he does all day now? He's been out of the mayor's office for, 6 weeks or so?
Yeah.
So
it's December, right?
He wakes up in the morning, does what? Calls up senators and begs?
Anybody want me? Anybody want me to speak? Anything I can do?
Well, I bet you his wife is furious. She had big dreams. She wanted to be first lady.
I didn't know this. He was going to be the first mayor to voluntarily relinquish the job in over a century because he was going to go to Washington, D.C. The nomination was July 9th, 2021. That's the day it became public. And if they speeded it through the Senate, he would have just said, all right, I'm not going to be mayor anymore now. I'm done.
Because well, most people who run for mayor actually want to be mayor. But he was a guy who never wanted to be mayor.
Right.
He just wanted to get
to the next.
Get some kind of credit to go to the next stage.
Right, right. He spoke wistfully on July 9th, 2021 about building a life of service in his hometown. He talked broadly about his commitment to service, including as a teacher, naval officer, and finally elected official.
A man of service.
A man of service. So the update is that there really isn't any update. The same people that are speaking, one of them is a senator from Arizona, Mark Kelly, a Democrat, who said, I've had concerns and I don't think anything's changed.
Right.
But the little twist in the story, it's kind of a little inside politics, but old Joe has a new chief of staff. What is it, Jeff Zients?
Yes. He used to be the COVID czar.
He's the new chief of staff, and apparently he and Rick Jacobs had some sort of a friendship.
Uh-oh.
Now, Rick Jacobs, of course, is the guy that's responsible, really, for Garcetti's problems.
Was Jacobs kissing Zients on the lips?
Don't know, and they're thinking that might keep the nomination around because he might feel sympathetic, not only to Jacobs, but to Garcetti, and might be pushing to keep Garcetti in the mix here to become the ambassador to Indy.
They're never gonna get the senators to go along with this.
But that's what chief of staffs do. They lobby. They work really hard behind the scenes.
What arguments?
They offer deals, power play.
What arguments have the senators not heard yet? 567 days. I think everything's been said.
One source said Jacobs has stayed with the Zients family when he visited Washington, D.C. Yes.
Mm.
Uh-oh.
Well, his family's got stories.
I hope you don't have any kids. Yeah,
yeah, really.
But he gets interested in.
Get your shots.
Yeah, they confirmed that they knew each other and saw each other occasionally over the years.
Uh-huh.
Zients was not aware of the allegations before they aired publicly. Well, a lot of us weren't, but
no,
that was all the inside talk, though, among Garcetti staffers as to what was going on.
Did did Jacobs do this everywhere, not just in Garcetti's circle, but did he assault everyone with the forced kissing and the shoulder grabbing and the crotch grabbing?
Well, you're right. He wasn't a young guy by the time he got involved in the Garcetti administration, so I don't know what he did before that, but it probably wasn't a public enough job for people to care or talk about if he was doing that. I would imagine so. As you like to say, people don't change. And if he's been getting away with that all his life, doing that everywhere he goes.
Yeah, I mean, he got a real power position with Garcetti.
Right.
So he got people to go along with it.
Right.
I don't know what he did when he was young before he had some power, but...
Apparently, it has to start all over again. He has to go back through the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and he got out of that committee. They forwarded the nomination to the full Senate, but that's where the whole thing stopped.
It's going
to
be colossally embarrassing. The Republican from Iowa who's halted things, Chuck Grassley, he's got a huge file on Garcetti that he and his investigators put together. That committee hearing is going to go on for days. It's going to be Grassley nailing him to the wall like a prosecutor.
I know.
He can't get out from this.
Why didn't that happen in the committee, though? That's because we didn't have that big whistleblower story come up. But it was kind of the same. The story was still there.
Because the lawsuit was there from the LAPD cop.
Garcetti allies feel like he's been made to appear guilty by association. Oh, yes, because I knew Rick Jacobs and he was doing that, but I wasn't aware of it. I had no knowledge of it. I never saw it. You're making me guilty by association. They're trying to draw some sympathy.
By the way, who's a Garcetti loyalist? Who's emotionally involved with how Garcetti progresses in his stupid political career?
He's probably got some hangers on who think he's going to be a big deal.
He's unemployed.
I know. And it says here now there's a belief that maybe they've just nominated him out of a sense of loyalty, and I think they're hoping he just withdraws, but he won't.
That's what a normal person would do.
You would think so.
Yeah, I mean that happens all the time.
A year and a half later, and you're still languishing there. I like this last part. This is a section of Politico, their West Wing playbook. Message us. Are you Eric Garcetti? We want to hear from you. And we'll keep you anonymous. Email us. They were actually asking if Garcetti reads this to email them and have a response to their column.
Right. Give us a news tip.
Give us
what's
a news
going on.
Tip.
Have you heard anything?
Yeah, really. he might. I mean, last we checked, he's got his parents and a well-paid lobbyist who've been working to.
You know, that was the most embarrassing moment when he had his parents spend money on a lobbyist.
Called in mommy and daddy and they're spending money. Well, they don't want him around either.
No.
And they think he's a star, so they're going to do everything they can to try to.
Yeah, they really must have coddled him. And, and convinced him that he was the second coming.
I think that's exactly the way things were in that household for years. That particularly, you know, when he got that glorious education, right?
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, chance for you to win some money. $1,000 is up for grabs. The KFI cash refill contest. You're going to hear this hour's keyword. More coming up. John and Ken, KFI. AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. All right, well, one of the big stories this afternoon is that Alec Baldwin has been officially charged with involuntary manslaughter. It happened today in New Mexico. They also charged the armorer, this Hannah Gutierrez-Reed, involuntary manslaughter, if you don't remember, October 21st, 2021. Gun went off in Alec Baldwin's hand. And it killed the cinematographer on a movie called Rust, Helena Hutchins. If convicted of the most serious charge, they could face a mandatory 5-year prison sentence. The first assistant director, David Hall, has already pled no contest to negligent use of a deadly weapon. He was kind of the third guy in this trifecta of lack of safety over guns. He got a suspended sentence of 6 months of unsupervised probation, whatever that means. Kind of just do what you want. All right, my 6 months are up.
Supervised probation.
I don't know what that means.
We're not going to check on you, but if we catch you, you're in trouble.
Yeah, you're on your own. Just let us know when you're done with your probation.
Did they make him do the perp walk? Or because I had read that they were going to do this by Zoom.
No. In fact, I don't think they did any of that because it says next up will be a preliminary hearing, and that might be done virtually. They haven't even set the dates yet.
Oh, that's not right.
This was just a processing of charges.
Should be handcuffed, jailed.
I know.
He took a life. Killed somebody.
Yes.
What is this? He gets to stay home?
Says here the Screen Actors Union are not happy because an actor should not be responsible for gun safety. So why are you blaming him when it was really up to the armorer on the set or anybody else?
Because he pulled the trigger.
Yeah. I think it ultimately stops with the guy.
Is that our union?
Who pulls the trigger. It is. Yeah.
It's our union.
Yeah. Well, well, they have to be on the side of the actor. That's who they represent, right?
Well, not when he pulled the trigger. Come on.
All right. So first will be something like an arraignment. Then there'll be a preliminary hearing. I don't know whether or not. I guess he'll have to show up in person for the preliminary hearing. I don't know. But that's where the judge just decides if there's enough to actually take this to trial.
Is he going to do the whole thing by Zoom?
I'm guessing they don't really want to interfere with his life.
And if they...
He can go and continue to do whatever he's done with his life and just deal with the questions that people have about this. But
and if he gets convicted...
For a criminal proceeding on manslaughter, it just sounds very light. Yeah.
Yeah. If he's convicted, is he going to go to jail by Zoom? I don't know.
That would be a good idea.
Yeah.
You go to jail virtually.
Virtual jail.
What you do is you set up a little place in your home with a camera, and you sit there, and we can watch you for a few hours to make sure you're in containment.
I think we're all in virtual jail in some way.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the truth about this case was that the whole set was just rampant with nobody cared when it came to guns. Like we said, they were filming an old Western, so probably they got in the mood to feel like they're on the scene of an old Western. Out there with the
crew is bored, and so at night they would load the pistols with real bullets, and they'd shoot cans off a fence. Really, they did, because they had nothing to do.
They had nothing to do.
You know, they probably got loaded on a few beers and started having a shooting contest, and I think that's how the real bullets got mixed with the blanks.
Now. This guy Halls, who took the plea deal, has apparently said something different. He was the first assistant director. He's the one that made the plea deal. So he said it was the armorer, Gutierrez Reed, who handed the gun to Baldwin, and he said he never called out Cold Gun. He's denying that. So I guess there'll be other witnesses to say true or not. But
Baldwin's whole shtick so far has been to blame everybody else and claim he didn't do it, which is a lie.
Right.
You know, they're going to, I mean.
He claims Gutierrez Reed is the one that said Cold Gun and handed the weapon to Baldwin. He did not see her load the weapon, but that she had shown him the gun already loaded with what he believed to be dummy rounds. That's what he thought was in.
Prosecution's going to put on gun experts, movie prop experts, and every one of them is going to say that a gun like that, it is impossible for it to go off by itself. You have to put pressure on the trigger. Otherwise, it never goes off.
Oh, yeah, that was his claim, wasn't it?
That
he never fired it. It just went off.
I've heard several of these guys, and they're definitive about it. Like, no wiggle room.
Right.
It's impossible.
Right. So apparently when you yell out Cold Gun, that means that someone actually physically checked the cylinder to make sure it was safe to use. So that's why it's key as to who yelled out Cold Gun. And Halls is saying, I never said that, but I think she said that. But he said he didn't blame any one person. It was Hutchins who directed Baldwin to point the gun in her direction.
Oh, it's her fault then.
The dead woman.
Blame the victim.
It was a series of tragic mistakes that happened. A live round ended up on a film set, and then there are things that you cannot put sole responsibility on one person, he said in his deposition. Again, this is the guy that pled out, the first assistant director of the case. Now, the Gutierrez Reed, the armorer, that's the young woman. This was like one of her first films, wasn't it?
Her second, I think, and her dad had done that job and was very well known for decades.
Oh.
So she grew up on movie sets watching him work. And then she got into the business, and it was her second time.
Well, she's out of the business. She said in a deposition that she's been unemployed for a year, and she's now managing the social media accounts of an Arizona-based real estate company. That's what she's doing now with her life. So,
yeah, that's...
I don't think you're going to get another job as an armorer in
a
movie set after this happened.
No.
That would seem very unlikely.
Yeah, you only get one kill.
Do you think he'll make a plea deal then, the both of them, probably? I don't know, because...
Stay out of jail? If he could stay out of jail, yeah. I think he would admit it in order not to go to prison.
You think they would do a plea deal for a 5-year prison sentence?
I don't think this is hard to prove. You know, you do a plea deal if you have doubts about your own case.
Right.
And if you don't think you can get a conviction. Now, the wild card is, I don't know how a jury deals with him. Because he's got two things going for him. He's a famous actor, handsome famous actor, and he's also a big liberal political icon.
Yeah, but he's kind of a loudmouth and an annoying.
Right, but depends what side you're on. You know, if you're on his political side, then he's your guy. He's fighting for you. You know, if you're conservative, he's a big pain in the ass and you want him to rot in hell. So I don't know how that breaks out on the jury.
Now, the Post is running a story here that apparently Baldwin had been inattentive during firearm safety practice.
Yeah.
That's not going to look good for him, and that it's going to indicate that he really was just too casual on the set using.
Because how many movies has he done where there were guns? So it's that wah, 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 wah. You've heard a thousand times. So you go on a cruise ship, right? Or an airline, right? Does anyone pay attention to the airline safety speech?
Not anymore. Nobody does.
Anybody following all the hand signals that the flight attendant's giving?
I usually take a nap.
Yeah, right.
Keep your headphones on.
Do you check for your flotation device underneath the seat?
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Yeah, of course, we're on 1-4, so if you can't catch this thing live, you can always catch up on the podcast at KFIAM640.com, the iHeartRadio app. A reminder that it's Tuesday. That's exciting. You know, I actually heard somebody said today?
What?
Hump Day Eve.
No,
I couldn't believe I heard that. I heard somebody, it's a DJ somewhere, just say that. It's Hump Day Eve.
That person should be identified and removed. Removed from the radio business. Hump Day Eve? Oh, no. No. Hump Day's bad enough.
The moist line's coming back.
Hump Day.
In 3 days, so this is just a quick reminder, leave a message.
Moron DJs have been saying that for decades.
Hump Day?
Yeah, since I was a kid, they've been saying Hump Day. Who started that? When does it stop?
Yeah, I didn't. I thought it was more current than that. I didn't realize it went back that many years.
I remember a long time, yeah.
Oh, hump day.
Well, because I remember getting into radio.
It's for the cubicle people that you always mock. They need something to say, all right, we're halfway there.
I remember.
Halfway to the weekend.
When I got into radio.
What's for lunch?
I promised myself I'm never going to say the words hump day unless I'm mocking it.
Oh,
I'm not going to wish sincerely anyone.
Can we say, woohoo, Friday?
That's on the endangered list. The woohoos.
How about it's Monday?
Mondays are good. I like working.
But the commercial was funny, right? Where the camel walks around. You haven't seen that commercial?
No.
The insurance company commercial? Oh, I think. Oh. He's yelling, it's hump day, everybody, hump day. He's all excited. It's an actual camel. You get it? The Moist Line can be, you can find it using the talk back feature on the iHeartRadio app. It's the microphone icon. Or call the toll-free number, 1-877-MOIST-86. 1-877-664-7886. Shootings continue to be in the news. Later on, we'll talk again about... And John does not want you to call it Beverly Crest. I saw Beverly Crest again
it
today.
It is
in two
not
store.
Beverly
I,
Crest.
I know. I
I have it in my script. I'm told to call it that.
Well, who told you? Who told you to call it that?
Oh, John's going to fight someone now.
No, it's wrong.
The reporter keeps putting it in.
Here you go. Look at this.
Is that Blake?
Blake.
Oh, my God. Look, here's Wikipedia on this. All right? It's east of Coldwater Canyon,
and
Benedict Canyon Drive, which is just down the road, is west of Coldwater.
John lived there 14 years. Don't argue with him.
14 years. And I'm looking at the streets here, and none of them is Ellison.
Get Blake on the line.
All right. She threw him under the bus.
No, I mean, I'm not throwing him under the bus.
I didn't even notice you were saying it, but I heard some TV reporters
I got a Channel 7 story in front of me. It's headlined, Beverly Crest Triple Shooting. They all did it.
Maybe since you moved, they took over that part.
Exactly.
No, it's known as Beverly Hills Post Office.
Right.
That's what it's known as.
Sure nothing changed? You've been gone a few years.
Nothing
changed? No.
I'm going to call
redistricting?
I still have friends who live up there. I'm going to ask them if anybody started calling it Beverly Crest.
Well, of course, everyone now is about videos. We're back in this cycle of what did the police do? And obviously what happened in Memphis. Horrendous, right? There's just no excuse for beating a guy to death like they did in Memphis. But what that leads to is we like to call it clickbait. So now they look for other stories that might have video. And I mean, this one is an almost Huntington Park police apparently shot and killed a double amputee last Thursday. He tried to run away from them on his stumps after jumping out of his wheelchair. Now, you read that first sentence and you're like, what? How could anybody chase and then shoot to death a double amputee? And not only that, he's a father of two. This is Huntington Park Police Department. This is not LAPD. He lost the lower halves of his legs after an altercation with police in Texas. So he came here from Texas, John, once again. Now, the reason that this was a dangerous situation... He had just stabbed somebody unprovoked. So the police get there. They not only know it's a man with a knife, but it's a man with a knife that apparently stabbed somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be on high alert.
And he still has the knife.
He may be in a wheelchair, but who knows if he could jump out at you. I'm not defending them shooting him, but I'm just saying that you can't. It says they tried to tase him. They chased him as he ran down the sidewalk. I mean, you got to arrest this guy because he stabbed somebody. That's a deadly assault, is it not? All right, so they have to somehow put him in custody. But he's wheeling away and then he's running away on his stumps, which is really bizarre.
Did you see the video?
I have seen the video, yes. It is
ridiculous.
It's exactly why a lot of people are probably clicking the story, because they can't believe it. He did have a large butcher knife in one hand as he turned and tried to run away from them. So a second cop car arrives. Third police officer comes out with it. 15 seconds of the third officer arriving, they did fire multiple shots. Now, the contention is they thought he might throw it at them, like a knife thrower.
Right.
Which I don't know how accurate or deadly that would be. But
he couldn't exactly lunge at them.
No, not unless he got close enough.
Right.
If he wheeled his way closer to them, I guess he could have.
Right. But, you know, it's easy to back off.
Because whoever he stuck with the knife, he probably was right next to them with his wheelchair, unless he lunged at them. They don't know. It says here, then he was lying on the ground. They placed him in handcuffs. He was tased at least twice by Huntington Park officers, but the deployment of the taser was apparently ineffective. I keep hearing that now, that some of these tasers are not doing the job. Remember the teacher that was killed by LAPD?
Yeah.
Where he died in custody after being tased, but they had problems with the taser, I think, too.
Yeah, and the taser didn't subdue the guy that got killed in Memphis.
Right, right. So the cops involved have been placed on leave for a few days, but there is no official disciplinary action that's been taken. Now, the L.A. County Sheriff's Office is investigating the incident, which comes, of course, just 3 weeks after what happened to the guy in Memphis. Yeah, it says that the family told the L.A. Times he lost the lower half of his legs following a different altercation with police in Texas. He had been living with his mother as a result of an injury there. And the day of his death, he said he was just going to go down to McDonald's, but it's not clear yet who he's supposedly stabbed, but that's cops thought when they got there, that he stabbed somebody.
Right. Okay, so I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for him.
I know.
This is the second time he's been involved in a major altercation, and he just stabbed someone. So you put yourself in play like that.
Yeah, that's... That does make it very difficult, right?
I mean, how absurd is it that you don't have legs, you're sitting in a wheelchair, but you're chasing after people with a knife and stabbing them? I mean, what?
I don't know.
You're asking too much.
And of course, they have to throw in the fact that he's the father of two. But I don't know what he was doing with his life. If he came to L.A., I guess, to live with his mother because he didn't have the lower half of his legs and he needed some help with getting around.
Well,
and doing
he
things.
Should have been home with his kids, father of two. Well, why wasn't he home with his kids? Instead, he's out stabbing on the streets.
Yeah, and we have to find out if that story plays out. His name is Anthony Lowe Jr., 36 years old.
And by the way, if the police sense a danger, are they supposed to ask, oh, do you have children? Before they respond with gunfire?
No, if they're told that you just stabbed somebody and they get to the scene and they see a knife, it's going to get real serious real quick.
Yeah.
You should just surrender. If you're an innocent man just going to McDonald's and everything's wrong about the story, you haven't stabbed anybody, you haven't done anything wrong, then, you know, just stay there and that'll play out.
Yeah, but, and it's pretty clear a few cops are crazy. So you're taking risks out there.
Yeah, I know.
This is not a perfect world here. So
it is tough to defend, though, shooting somebody who's an amputee and just has a knife and... You can certainly keep your distance rather easily. You would think that would be the case.
You would think, yeah.
All right, we got more coming up. It's the John and Ken Show on KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. Well, it's something we've touched on before, coming up after 2 o'clock. We're going to talk about what they refer to as excess deaths. We're going to talk about dying next hour. Anyway, excess deaths are the deaths that are far and above the normal that you get in a year's tally, something like that. So in the state of California, there's been a 20% increase in these excess deaths, and COVID is not the full explanation for it. It's more evidence that there were definitely, definitely big consequences from the lockdowns.
Yeah, Newsom's lockdown killed people.
They did.
That should be involuntary manslaughter, too.
That's right. Well, it kind of started at the top when...
voluntary manslaughter.
We had all those experts in Washington, D.C. Tell us that we had to completely stay away from each other, and that had some bad consequences. Got an animal story for Deborah Mark.
Yippee!
No, it's not a yippee.
Ooh.
You do not like the rodeo, do you?
I hate rodeos.
Did you ever go to a rodeo?
Are you kidding me?
I did once in Wyoming. It was really cool and exciting.
I was in Las Vegas when they had the big rodeo convention. Just an accident in December.
And
as soon as I walked into a couple hotels, I saw these guys with the 10-gallon hats. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
And I thought there was just a country performer. Then I read it was a big rodeo. It was actually a competition, a huge competition.
It is exciting to watch.
Like the national rodeo finals.
I'm
what do you
sorry,
see when I, you go? You just see what they, what did you see, John? What kind of events?
What you would imagine, you know, you're in a grandstand. It's like set up like a racetrack. It's an oval, and they release like a bull. Not a bull, right? Is it a? No, it's a. What do they rope?
Well,
horses. No.
They rope Bulls, cattle.
All right. So a bull comes out, and the cowboy chases him on a horse. He's on horseback, and he ropes him and tries to pull him down.
But that's cruel.
Exactly.
Well, it's fun.
Oh, well, you're describing it with such glee. It sounds like.
Oh, it's.
Break their legs, or how do they? Because you have to kind of take their legs out, right?
I'm trying to think. Do they ride the bull and they try to ride, sit on the bull long enough?
Well, that's part of it. Yeah. And that's what the story is.
That's the really good part when you have the cowboy trying to sit on the bull's back and getting bucked
and falling off and then maybe getting hurt because the bull is then really pissed off and chases him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exciting.
Hey, people watch NFL football every Sunday. It's no different.
That's one of our favorite photos of all time. That guy got, nailed in the groin by the bull's horn.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got gored in the groin.
Didn't one guy get gored in the anus?
In the anus, too, yeah. Right. That's right, in the back, yeah.
wanted to say anus.
I think they survived.
But he was holding the guy up in the air by the anus with the horn sticking out of him.
Oh, gee.
God.
This was a 14-year-old boy. He was riding a bull at the rodeo for the first time in his life, and... it wasn't, Deborah Mark, that the bull threw him and he died. He suffered cardiac arrest.
He was so scared?
I guess. He rode a bull at the Rafter K Rodeo Winter Series. This is in North Carolina. And it says emergency personnel had to respond to a call for cardiac arrest. He was riding a bull when he experienced cardiac arrest and later died at the hospital.
Oh, that's really sad.
From the stress of riding the bull?
He's only 14. There must have been some tragic heart defect.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, I would think there had to be something about that.
Better that than being gored by a bull.
This isn't a Damar Hamlin situation where the bull hit him at the wrong time in the heartbeat, is it?
I don't know. I don't think he was thrown. The story doesn't say that he was thrown from the bull or otherwise suffered any... and he kind of like...
he just was sitting on the bull? There was no contact then?
Yeah, because it says here they were proud that he rode the bull. But then after he got done with the bull ride, he suffered cardiac arrest. And they had to take him to the hospital. Wow.
I bet he was scared to death.
Well, if he had a weakness and then he was so...
Revved up,
a lot of adrenaline, heart beating really fast, blood pressure and all that.
So much adrenaline that
might have popped something in his heart.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
that's sad.
That's a very sad story.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but the animal didn't get hurt, right? So you're not...
Oh, I'm very happy that the animal didn't get hurt, but I certainly am not happy that a 14-year-old died.
Oh, no, of course.
Let's make that clear.
Before we twist
reaction,
sure.
Yes.
Let's talk about old Joe Biden. Apparently, he has told the Amtrak train story again. Can you believe that? The Amtrak train story, he did this yesterday in Baltimore. And it's whenever he shows up to talk about infrastructure spending, because some of that money is spent on things. And in this case, it's a pair of train tunnels. And so that just always stokes his memories, and he starts telling his Amtrak stories again.
Why is he so fixated that he used to take a train to work? Millions of people do.
I know.
Why does he think it's such a special moment in his life that he was on a train?
Do you think it's the idea that he's promoting for people to use mass transit, and he's proud that he did that for so long? And
he's proud that he did it?
He always tells a story like he's proud.
But it's nothing. You just climb aboard and you sit there. There's nothing romantic. It's not an accomplishment to sit in a train car while it carries you to your destination. It's passive.
He had to tell everybody that he rode through this particular tunnel 1,000 times. I've been through this tunnel, the Baltimore Tunnel. We got some audio of his latest storytelling.
By the way, I can say it now since I know there's different leadership. I used to about 15% of the time ride with the engineers, for real. And I'm the only guy that I was aware of when I stopped riding Amtrak that had a key to get in the back. So you can tell your predecessor, he's gone.
Wow.
Yeah.
He sounds even more weak and feeble.
He does. And
so he had a key to the back door of the.
That's what he's claiming.
So what?
That he got to ride with the engineers.
What is he, eight? From
the locomotive up front, I guess.
Yeah, that's something a little kid would be excited about.
And it's
about.
Odd that he used 15% of the time I rode with the engineers. Like a very exact kind of percentage.
15%.
Yeah, so like he calculated his trips and how many times he was in the locomotive with the engineers.
So,
and that was 15% of my trips.
So that would be like 3 out of 20. You get 20 trips in a month. He was 3 times.
Yeah, he...
Wow.
Of course, there's the famous story he tells about his train rides involving a conductor that he kept talking about, Angelo Negri, who retired from Amtrak in 1992 and died in 2014. Even CNN declared one of his stories false because he was talking about that conductor when that conductor had already passed away. So,
right. And the news media has covered this over and over and over again, and he doesn't stop, which makes me think. See, that to me is a sign of senility.
That he,
when you keep telling a story that everybody in the world knows is false, and you keep pushing it, it means he can't control himself. He doesn't remember.
Yeah, this is when he keeps telling the story that he also flew over 1 million miles on Air Force 2 when I was vice president. And I have over 1 million miles on Amtrak. How do you do that? Well, they added it up. But apparently...
What's with all the Amtrak statistics with him?
He I don't know.
That is... A lot of... It does sound like just a really old guy. Yeah, used to take the train. Used to sit with the engineers. It's not even interesting stories.
A lot of the folks in Amtrak became my family. Not a joke.
Yeah, some of the stories he was telling was just out of date. In other words, he was talking about Amtrak employees, and he mentioned a deceased Amtrak conductor who congratulated him on his ridership total when that guy was already dead when Biden originally...
Biden's 80 years old. Of course all those people are dead. They've been dead a long time. And
speaking of Biden... When we come back, you probably know by now that they have declared the federal state of emergency is going to end for COVID. Of course, that won't be happening until May 11th.
Ooh. May 11th.
That's just so
four
not
and a half
kidding
months.
You. It's January, 31st, but May 11th, right?
May 11th. Wow.
About 3 months.
We're going to be in a state of emergency.
3.5 months. We'll talk about that, and we'll talk about this new report on excess deaths in the state of California. We've touched on this before. The fact that the lockdowns can bring or did bring momentous consequences to people's lives. And the number of people who died outside of COVID was higher than normal since 2020. The years 2020 and 21 and 22. We'll get to all that coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeart Radio app.
Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it. Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With
Cheapo Air you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.